The first scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 30 on page 867 in your pew Bible. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Rick. Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel of John, and we'll look at chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. Jesus went on to say, "In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me." At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?" They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." This is the word of the Lord. There are certain promises that Jesus never made, as we read of his life in the four Gospels, and some of these might be kind of familiar to you. You might have heard them from a friend or a podcast, a book. They're catchy, generally, and they're easily repeatable, but that does not mean that they're good interpretations of what Jesus actually has to tell us. My favorite one is, "God doesn't give us more than we can handle." I've even been told that a time or 12. In one sense, this is true, right? Christ is my strength, and while I've had to endure a lot of difficult things in my life, I've only done so through Christ's strength, and I have gotten through those things. On the other hand, I can think of several folks in the Bible who were not able to handle what was shelled out to them, right? I'm pretty sure the Apostle Paul never spoke of God giving us only what we can handle. Instead, he wrote that Christ is our strength. Some of these sayings for Paul didn't resonate when you're being stoned or you're being dragged or you're being thrown into prison. It's a little bit different take on it. Let me read a few more promises that Jesus did not make. If you have enough faith, bad things won't happen. If you're suffering, your faith must be weak. If you trust God enough, you won't have any doubt. If you follow God's will, everything will go smoothly for you. All those doors will open. It'll just be so smooth and so wonderful. Seamless. If you give generously, God will reward you financially, generously. If you have enough faith, God will heal any disease you may experience. And finally, if you follow Jesus each step of your life, you will not experience any challenges or hardships. Now, I bet if you had this list written in front of you as Christians, you would be able to refute some of those things from your own experience. Of course, you've had your own challenges and watched God's faithfulness through those times. Well, I'm not sure where they come from exactly, because both of our New and Old Testament readings today tell us life will bring challenges. Jesus tells his disciples, sorrow will come. There will be grief we experience, there'll be hard times, but he says, sorrow will not have the last word. So we begin a new series today for this month where we'll look at a psalm each Sunday and consider how to access the peace that Christ promises us. In the Gospel of John, just before our reading today, in this same conversation, he's with his disciples prior to his arrest and his crucifixion. Jesus says, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That peace is like equivalent to the shalom, the peace and wholeness of the Old Testament. Safety, security, health. It's peace as we're assured of our place, our salvation in Christ, and it's by Jesus' presence by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We are filled with peace. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit as well, and that grows within us. Jesus isn't saying we won't experience conflict, that as long as we're Christians, we'll be happy. But there's a little bit of that out there. In fact, the world brings trouble, he says quite plainly. He says there will be trouble and suffering. So peace then isn't the absence of conflict. We know conflict is going to exist. Surely we have seen that by now, maybe with the exception of Sophie and Leo. You don't know about that yet. But we're able to access peace even in the midst of our great trials and challenges. So my hope then, as we go through this series, is these psalms we preach on will be able to show us maybe a tool or a way to access that peace. The psalmist writes this psalm of praise, having experienced hardship. We don't know what his troubles necessarily were, but he's likened them to death, as you heard Dennis read. He's been in that place where he felt there was absolutely no hope, and he's rejoicing in this psalm that God has saved him from that. In verse 3, he says he was brought up from the realm of the dead, and he has been spared from going down to the pit. He's had a time where he felt God's absence, or rather was not able to feel the presence of God. If you've been in a time of grief, you may have experienced this along the way. You feel empty and sorrowful, beyond broken, but even empty of sorrow, like there's no feelings or tears left. Your grief is of that nature and that deep. The psalmist speaks of God's silence and wonders, does that mean that God is angry with me? And he admits his grief like wearing sackcloth, he said in verse 11. And the psalmist, I love this, says something so many of us have felt or maybe even said aloud in verse 6. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. You know, I'm on top of the world, people. I'm good. Leslie Brandt, in her book, interprets verse 6 this way. She says, there was a time when I thought I was secure among my material accumulations. However, they gathered like a cloud to blot out the face of God, and I was left empty and unfulfilled. Eugene Peterson says, when things are going our way, we feel like God's favorite. I'm God's favorite. That is true. Each one of you are God's favorite, but that's where some of those misconceptions come in, don't they? It's as if when God somehow turns his attention from us and is absent, when things don't go our way or something, I'm having trouble working that all out. Because Jesus promises the Holy Spirit is always with us and that in him we find peace. So where do you turn to when you are in need of help? And when your inner strength and your inner resources fail, how do you find peace? What you look forward to, I think, gives us some idea. The other day I told Todd that we had the whole evening to ourselves. It was going to be great. It was Friday night. We had the whole peaceful, filled with peace evening ahead of us. And maybe we could go to dinner. Three of our kids were hanging out with friends. They were in three different locations. The fourth was with friends at a graduation. Lots, hundreds and hundreds of friends there. So we would be alone, and it was a really exciting thought. We'd go to dinner and then see what happened next. Well, I had forgotten we still had one kid we had to pick up, and we had to drop off and do all the Ubering that we normally do, and he's close to his license in just a few days. So Todd said, look, dial back your happiness, because you're not finding peace tonight. There is no peace here. Dial back your happiness. Peace was not going to be found in a restaurant that evening. That's what he said. Chances are, when you're in need of peace, you do have some good ways of finding that peace. Taking care of yourself or a friend, going to sleep early maybe, spending time with God in prayer. But what about when it is really difficult to find? Even the psalmist asks, when he's in the pit, when he's hit rock bottom, how is it possible to declare God's truth? And how is it possible to praise God for all he's done? He says, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? The psalmist asks to sing the praises of the Lord, asking this of God's faithful people. He says, praise God's holy name. In verse 4. So what can we do to move us through grief or what feels like the absence of God? There are a few things, and we'll definitely talk about more in the coming weeks, looking at the Psalms. But I got to tell you, one of those big things is community. And I see that right here today. Most of you know we have a grief group here. I guess we don't really advertise it on the bulletin and things like that very much, but you're all welcome to come at some point. It's on the first and the third Thursdays of the month, and it's an open group, so people come as they need to and come back at different times and so on. I'm so proud of them. This is the only grief group I have been to or facilitated where there is a lot of laughter and joy. In spite of the very significant losses that each of them has experienced, somehow we so often laugh together as someone shares a funny memory or has a funny story. There are tools many of them have used to work through that grief, and me too, but the strength of the group is the group. It's community. This psalm is a call to worship, just as we do traditionally in the beginning of our services. It's a call to people, multiple people, not just us individually, to worship. That's community. As the psalmist has been to hell and back, he invites others to praise God. There's strength there with others beside us. So don't miss that piece of this text. The psalm offers a way to begin to access the peace that God offers us, and that is, of course, to praise, as he said, and to give thanksgiving. In verse 4, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name. There's a little tiny thing hiding in there in the Hebrew. Sing to the Lord, you his people, you faithful followers. Give thanks. Give gratitude to his holy name. There's praise there and there's gratitude. Praise to God includes gratitude. As you praise musically and give thanks, the Hebrew involves this physical expression. We had a wonderful physical expression during our first song today when we clapped together. Roland's the best clapper around. He sat behind me. It's a physical expression of praise as we lift up our hands to praise the Lord. And it's saying, it embodies this gratitude that we have to God and this praise to God. And as I said, this is something that we do each week in community, and I'm pretty sure that God designed it that way. So I'd like to try it. If you're not one for lifting up your hands, try it anyway, because we're among friends here. We're going to lift our hands and we're simply going to say, praise God's holy name.
Praise God's holy name.
Okay, one more time.
Praise God's holy name.
Wonderful. We need a photographer right here. That was great. That was awesome. That's embodying gratitude to praise God. That accesses even in those tough times or grief, or sorrow. It's accessing that peace that God gives us. He says, you turned my wailing into dancing. Oh, there's that physical part again. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Dance, we're not going to do that. Or sing. Practice gratitude by writing in a journal. Whatever works for you. Sometimes we simply lift our hands and say, thank you for being here, God. I don't know what is going on or how to pray, but thank you. If you are in a season of grief or sorrow, know Jesus promises that this isn't going to be the end, that all things are temporary. Weeping may stay for the night, but joy comes in the morning, and God's mercies are new every morning. Our sorrow does not have the final word, and God doesn't promise a trouble-free life, but what happens? God is always revealed through those struggles that we experience. Our joy is complete in Christ, and as we did so before, let's do it one more time. Praise God's holy name. Amen.